First, our next guest says she's seen evidence on social media that Russia is once again trying to mess with our presidential election. In February, intelligence officials reportedly told House lawmakers that Russia is trying to get President Trump reelected this November. They also said Russia is working to help Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary. U.S. prosecutors say in 2016, Russia used social media, among other things, to boost Sanders' campaign in order to hurt the eventual nominee Hillary Clinton and ultimately help Trump. There's not a lot of reporting on how the Russians are meddling or their scope this time around from official sources, but our next guest says she has seen some examples out there. Young Mi Kim is a professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison and a faculty affiliate in the Department of Political Science. Her analysis on Russian interference in 2020 so far was conducted for the Brennan Center for Justice. Young Mi, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
Well, what are you seeing this time around so far early in this presidential campaign from known Russian sources?
Yeah, so let me give you a little bit of a background of this analysis. So back in September 2019, just a few months ahead of the Democratic primaries, I noticed some posts on Instagram that appeared to use this strategies and tactics very similar to those of the Internet Research Agency, a Kremlin-linked influence campaign operative, which I observed in my research on Russian election interference in 2016 on social media. So I examined like thousands of Instagram posts run by more than 30 accounts, which Facebook later confirmed to be the IRA-linked account. So on Instagram, trolls are pretending to be American people, domestic issue advocacy groups or grassroots organizations, or even candidate campaigns, and promoting fear-mongering, threat-posing messages that highlight social and political divides in the nation. At the same time, the IRA-linked groups appear to already have begun a systematic campaign operation to influence the 2020 elections. For example, as of September 2019, when my team captured the Instagram post before Facebook's takedown of the troll accounts, it was clear that Russian trolls were targeting liberal voters with the messages attacking major Democratic candidates back then, such as Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Kamala Harris.
If I'm a Facebook user or Instagram user, is it easy for me to know when something pops up in my feed or timeline what's a Russian account and what's not?
No, it is nearly impossible to know that because they are pretending to be American people, even like a domestic existing legit advocacy groups or grassroots organizations.
Right. And that's a tactic you write has become more prevalent. These Russian-backed accounts might actually use the name and a very similar logo to groups we might heard of, groups we might have heard of, and groups we might trust if it were actually them. What are we seeing there?
Yes, that's correct. So the Russian trolls try to mimic domestic groups, and then they even use the identity of like a legitimate, relatively popular nonprofits, like a political action committees, like a PACs or grassroots organizations, even in their original posts. So these are not reposted from these domestic groups. In 2016, the IRA never used exactly same logo or name of already existing legitimate active domestic groups while they mimic the group's activities. So for example, this time, you know, we noticed that some of the troll accounts tried to be looked like official Bernie Sanders campaign account. And then the name is Bernie.2020_. But the official Bernie Sanders campaign account is Bernie2020. So it's a very subtle different differences there. So it is very difficult for regular users to notice such a subtle differences. And the second pattern, notable like a tactical evolution in Russian election interference is that Russian trolls use non-political content or even commercial materials While this tactic was utilized in 2016, especially to build the audiences and the support bases at an earlier stage of the influence campaigns, it was not as common as now. So I believe like those evolving and even brazen tactics are perhaps developed to bypass like tech platforms' increased self-regulatory measures. If you think about like tech platforms' current measures, they are heavily focused on fighting against voting actors' influence campaigns while narrowly defining political content. So by utilizing domestic groups' materials and by increasing non-political posts, the Russian operation can disguise their true purpose of the influence campaigns and bypass the tech platform's measures against the voting influence campaigns.
Talking to Young Mi Kim, professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison, talking about her work tracking the efforts of the IRA, Internet Research Agency, the Russian group behind a lot of election interference in 2016. She finds they're still at it with some of the same tactics and some new ones. Young Mi, Wisconsin, you write, is at the center of this. We are one of the states apparently being targeted by these groups. Is that what's going on?
Yes. Yeah, so geographically, Russian election interference in 2016 and 2020 again are clearly focusing on battleground states, including Wisconsin, Michigan, Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and at this time, Arizona. So yes, like Wisconsin is one of the most frequently targeted states.
You, in your piece that we're talking about, you make some recommendations for the government to watch for this, and I think for service providers or these social media companies. What kind of changes could make a difference this year?
Yeah, I cannot but emphasize multi-level approaches. Like, first, we as an individual voters must be wary of Russian election interference campaigns. It is not just about like a few number of Facebook posts or Instagram images. We must understand that there is a systematic, deliberate, centralized operation that attempts to exploit political divides in our society. So we have to be a bit more skeptical when we encounter information in digital media, even though it appears to come from our own circle of friends or the domestic group, political groups we support. So use multiple sources to verify information. That is something we can do. But second, tech platforms must do a better job at enhancing their self-regulatory measures, including identity verification, labeling, and archiving digital posts. Although major tech platforms such as Google, Facebook, and then Twitter all implemented their own regulatory measures since 2018, their measures clearly fall short of public expectations. So enhanced transparency measures would help reduce so-called like shell groups or fake accounts operated by like voting actors. And then third, unfortunately, currently we do not have any effective policy guidelines that would combat against voting influence campaigns on digital platforms. So election commissions and legislators need to consider conspicuous, consistent, and comprehensive transparency measures at every level. I'm not talking about like a content censorship. That would be a dicey issue because it might violate like a First Amendment issues. But I'm talking about the increase in transparency measures that disclaimer rules that that are applied to like a broadcast advertising or campaigns, other campaign political campaigns, should be applied to digital platforms as well. So this such measures clearly need to address the very nature of election interference campaigns in this era that is data-driven and digitally mediated and micro-targeted campaigns.
And Young Mi, as we wrap up, bringing things back to the individual user, as you said earlier, it's really hard to detect what's a legit account, what's a Russian-backed account. But it seems like from your work and others, if a social media post being shared just really makes us mad about a social issue, that is exactly the kind of tactic that these agencies use. Is that right?
That's correct, because ultimate goal of like a Russian election interference campaigns and their propaganda activities, in fact, is to destabilize like a Western democracy by revealing extreme polarization. So if we are wary of some messages that emphasize the political divide, us versus them kind of a structure, then we should be very cautious about that.
Young Mi, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Young Mi Kim is a professor in the School of Journalism and Mass Communication at UW-Madison and a faculty affiliate in the Department of Political Science. She joined us to share her latest research on Russian interference in American elections.